Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the congregation in Thessalonica in northern Greece, the fifth chapter, beginning with verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Years ago, it might surprise you to know that I was on Bethany's basketball team. And on our way back from a game one night, it was about 11 o'clock at night, we had I was driving back with a friend of mine who had been in, the year before, his senior in high school, had been in three car accidents where people had died. And he was telling us about this on the way back to the campus. We got back here about 11 or 11:30 at night from a game in the Twin Cities. And just as we got into the dorm in Tygan Hall, someone came running out and said, "Did you hear about the accident?" And it turned out that one of my closest friends, had been in an accident that very same night, right here in town, about four blocks away, Division Street Hill, icy night, and had been in a head-on collision with a car. And the collision itself was not so bad, although back then nobody was wearing seatbelts. But he had been knocked unconscious and was apparently slumped up against the steering wheel, and his foot that he was driving, his foot was still on the gas pedal, and the engine was on fire. And so everybody else had gotten out of the cars and down into the ditch as this fire was going. And another friend of mine had to run back into the fire in the car and pull this friend out who was unconscious, slumped against the dash, and pull him to safety. He just about died. The next day, we went to see him in the hospital. He was bandaged up all over the place. I remember broken many bones and things. And we saw a photograph of the car that the police had taken after it was done, and it was just torched. You could not even recognize the car. A car I had just been in about 4 days earlier. And I remember it was such a slap in the face to me. And I remembered thinking, man, how quickly things can change in this life and in this world. In the text before us, St. Paul warns Christians about the fact that we shouldn't be taken off guard by how quickly things could change, whether it's Christ returning or our lives coming to an end. He says that that day should not overcome Christians like a thief in the night, one that comes and breaks into a house. Have you ever wondered, why did God give me faith in Christ? Why did God cause me to become a Christian? Why did he work it out in my life that I would end up getting baptized and be brought into the Christian faith and to know who this Savior is? We know it has nothing to do with any merit or worthiness in us. The Bible makes that very clear. We're no different than anybody else who's sinful unbelievers in the world. And yet God, in his mercy and compassion, has chosen to appoint you to actually believe in this Savior so that you could come to heaven someday. And God didn't bring you out of the darkness of unbelief in order to frustrate you. Now, it can be frustrating sometimes to live your Christian life here in this world. That's true. But the purpose of this faith that God has given you is not to frustrate you, but it's rather to ultimately save you, to get you out of your grave. Listen to Paul's words again. God did not appoint us to wrath. He didn't make you a Christian so that he could be angry with you or make your life difficult. He says, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. He uses an interesting Greek word here. He says, God appointed you. It's a Greek word that has to do with God establishing something, making sure that it worked out exactly in time the way he wanted it to happen. To think that in your life, you becoming a Christian was something God in the heavens thought about and established and very deliberately planned and worked out and made sure it would take place in your life by creating faith in your heart to now trust in the Savior. And he didn't do this to frustrate you. He did this for your good. He did this for your ultimate eternal good. And so the Bible speaks of this as your election, this choosing, this appointing that God has done to those who believe in Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. It's all about heaven. That's really what it comes down to. God wants you in heaven. That's why he sent Christ to pay for your sins. That's why he had Easter take place, the resurrection of the body for you in the future. It's all ultimately about heaven. And whether that happens, whether you go through the process of death or not, whether Christ returns before that takes place or not, from God's perspective, this is what this appointing is all about, is you being in heaven. Listen to what Paul said to the Ephesians. In love, God predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. He says, he chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's an appointment from heaven. It's an amazing thing. Now, knowing this, how would God have us approach our lives here in this life until that day comes? Well, he would have us approach how we live with what I'm going to call spiritual sobriety. Now, he says, let us watch and be sober. What he means with this is a soberness about life. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy this life. I'm sure Jesus, when he was a little boy, played with his friends out in the street and in the pastures. Doesn't mean you can't have fun or recreation in life and enjoy the things of this life, but it means that you go about your life with some sobriety, some spiritual sobriety, to understand what's ultimately going to happen after this life in this world comes to an end. And that you approach your life with the sobriety of holding on to this faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you don't miss out on the very reason God appointed you to be one of his children. And that is ultimately to get to go to heaven. So soberness about your life. If you've ever been around somebody who's really drunk, you get the imagery here pretty easily. When I was a student at Mankato State, living in an apartment up there, one night, one of my roommates left the door unlocked, and somebody came in at about 3 in the morning, a guy who was about 6'5", and he ended up using our bathroom, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we woke up to hear this noise and everything, and went and discovered there's a drunk man in our bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was quite a bit bigger than most of us. And we tried to reason with him, and it was in the middle of January, it was a blizzard, tried to get him out of our apartment, and you couldn't reason with him. He ended up, I remember seeing him walking through the blowing snow outside and nothing but a thin shirt on, and it made me really realize what it means to be drunk and how different it is, how different that conversation would have been with him that night if he had been sober, and how different it would have turned out for him as well. God doesn't want us to go through this life with being intoxicated by the things of the world that would take our mind off of really being focused on our salvation and being focused on the fact that God has called us in order to go to heaven someday. God doesn't want us to lose out on that. So he speaks to us wanting us to have this spiritual sobriety, if you will. And part of that means the role that you get to play in helping comfort and edify fellow Christians. Sometimes we just think that our Christian faith is primarily about us and so that we get to go to heaven. Yeah, that's true. But God has also put you in this world in a particular place in time with particular people around you and has appointed you to live when you do right now because he wants to use you, as St. Paul says. Listen, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. It's tough to stay in this faith. It's challenging. And man, for you guys in your generation, it's harder than for my generation. I really think so in our culture today. Do you guys ever need each other? Does your generation ever need each other to help you stay in your faith, to comfort one another with the gospel, to keep edifying one another, to keep building each other up in the faith? Just your presence in this chapel, just sitting in the seat that you're in and singing hymns, even though you feel like you don't do anything else, edifies other people in this room, certainly myself. Don't ever take for granted how God might be using you as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, to help comfort other people and to edify other people in their faith as well, throughout your whole life. I'll quit with one story. Maybe you've heard me tell this before. When I was a pastor in Minneapolis many years ago, there was an elderly woman in our church, I think she was in her 90s, named Idella, wonderful Christian woman. She was now in a nursing home and in a wheelchair. And she often said to me, as people in that stage of life sometimes say, I wonder why God just doesn't take me home, why God doesn't just take me to heaven. And I noticed after a while that every time I'd come to her room, she'd have another neighbor from around in a wheelchair in the room with her to listen to the devotion. And one day, I think there were 5 people in her room. We could hardly fit them in with all the beds. Well, it was pretty clear and obvious to me why God hadn't taken her home yet. Okay? God may be using you in ways that you don't even see or realize or understand to help others stay in their faith and be edified in Christ so that someday, whenever that day happens to come, that they leave this life just like for you and me, whenever that day happens to come, that we will finally receive that beautiful home in heaven to which you and I have been appointed by God's grace. Amen.